Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And that's what humorology is taking that information from a psychological level, from a comedy level, from a musical level even, and pulling them together and going, how can that improve everyday life and everyday business to make people happier and the workplace more productive? Welcome to the Humorology Podcast with me, Paul Barros, and my glittering lineup of guests from the worlds of business, sport, and entertainment, who are going to share their wisdom and their use of humor. Humorology is the study of how humor can dramatically improve your business success and your life. Humorology puts the fun into business fundamentals, increases the value of your laughing stock, and puts a punchline back into your bottom line. Please remember to like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. My guest on this edition of the Humorology Podcast is Brian Colbert.
Sorry, Brian, Paul, stop right there. Your guest on this episode is Paul Barros. The tables have been turned a little bit. This is about you. You know, too many people, you've been interviewing too many people saying what this humorology stuff is about. Okay, so we want to know now, what's your version of it? We've heard their version. What's your version? So what is humorology? What's it all about?
Oh, well, humorology is, I like to call it the art and science of using humor and comedy in commerce. Really, it's about how to show leaders, how to show business people, how to drive success into their business through what I would call the scientific application of humor, which is, and I know you'll have a problem with the word scientific.
For sure. I don't believe in science. The world is flat, Paul. Yes, we know that. And by the way, just before you answer that question, how can a person who's not funny do a book and a seminar on humorology?
Well, you know what? You can fool all of the people all of the time. Gotcha. I went to the Trump school of just actually look confident, tell people that you know what you're talking about, and they'll all line up and go with you.
Very good. So listen, though, about humorology, tell us, like, what is it? What's the target of it? What's your job? And what are you doing with this stuff? Like, and how is it going to affect business, bottom line?
Well, the bottom line is that when people connect, I mean, if people are laughing and they are relaxed, it's a marker that the group is in a good place. And every business wants their employees, the people they work, whether that's at board level or shop floor level, to be in a good place.
I don't agree with that at all. I've worked for businesses that are complete assholes, let's be honest. Like, yeah, basically, I didn't care about how I feel. They wanted to turn me upside down and empty the money out of my pocket or the energy out of my soul.
Yeah, and the point I would make there is you're not working for them anymore, are you?
That's very true, absolutely. So.
And you are one of the smartest people I know in business. So how did they screw up their business by not keeping you? And that's the whole point, is that actually you need to keep the best people in your businesses. And how you do that is by bonding those people, by making them feel valued.
And really, what you're selling, Paul. You're selling golden handcuffs. You are selling this philosophy, basically, that says if you keep people smiling, happy, engaged, connected, and efficient, then you can own them. Is that basically what humorology is about?
Yeah, I want people's souls, basically. Okay.
So you're starting a cult here. This is a cult, correct?
Of course, humorology cult's huge. Yeah,
I mean, everybody gets to be happy in the cult. That's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and so happy that they will reach into their pockets and give me all their money.
I like that approach. I think I'll buy the book straight away. You have me sold. I go to the seminar. I'm already on. I don't care whether it's good. If you've got you figured it out. Tell us though, really though. So what are you at? What are you trying to do? Like what's the end product of this? What are you doing for business? I'm a businessman. So why should I employ you? Why should I read your book? Why should I attend your seminar?
Well, because it's very practical. It doesn't just talk about the concept of how, you know, funny equals money. It actually talks about how the little things that you engender into the office culture can actually impact on the whole of the bottom line. It's about understanding that by closing the communication gap using humor, you know, what leaders and followers connect more. And fundamentally, that changes the way everybody works. And if you want people to work better, having a laughter attitude or a humorology attitude will impact on every level. People want to stay in the business. People want to do better for you. People will go the extra mile.
Will people take you seriously, Paul? That's the question. Now, I know the answer to the question, in fairness, but will people take you seriously?
I like the Charlie Brooker quote, which is, every laugh is a minute in an escape hatch from the darkness that surrounds us. And actually, will they actually go with that? Will they understand and take it seriously? You have to understand that if you are serious all the time, that has consequences. That has consequences on the way people feel, the way, you know, even if you look at it on a simple HR level of, you know, days off. You know, why do people have days off? Well, if you look at the statistics now, stress is one of the biggest things for people.
I don't think so, Paul. In Ireland, Danny, that doesn't work. The reason we take days off is because of hangovers. It's not for stress. Like, it's the stress maybe of the hangover, possibly. But the reason we really take time off is because you had a great night the night before. That's applies to everybody in Ireland. There's no one in Ireland that doesn't apply to. That's something we hold with pride. I don't like the stereotype around that, but it's every person in Ireland is like that. And yeah, most people in England, because most people in England have actually been from Ireland somewhere along the process as well. And then when you think of Germans too, Germans do that quite a lot as well. So I don't know what you're talking about. That's not very scientific, Bob.
You make a good point and I stand
corrected. Well, I drink a good point. So, but really, Paul, when you're talking about this stuff is that you're not saying be funny all the time. That's not what you're not saying. You're not saying you have to be funny all the time. You don't have to put on a red nose and be laughing and clapping all the way to the bank type of thing.
No, it's about finding your funny bones so you can use them appropriately when it's necessary. And by the way, I think it's necessary much more often than people think. I think it's finding that balance between gravity and levity.
Yeah, is
the important. Of course, business is important, and it's important to take it seriously. But actually, the more seriously you take the business, the more humor you should be able to add into it, because it will increase productivity. There was a really interesting study, and I know that you love scientific studies, that relaxation brought about by laughter opens the mind to creative thinking. And in business, we need to think creatively. One business did a scientific test, or I don't know if that's science or pseudoscience, but it doesn't really matter. They did a test whereby they showed people Robin Williams, the comedian's videos, And before that, they'd got them to solve tricky logic puzzles. And after they showed them the videos, their capacity improved by 20% to solve those puzzles.
That was probably because they were stupid in the first place, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they weren't doing the correct thing, we follow the Platonic process. Plato would believe that if you drink enough wine, that's where good ideas come from. So obviously you're not doing it properly.
Okay, we've gone back to the drinking. Then you think everything can be solved by a pint.
I'm with Tommy Tiernan, the Irish comedian, who said that when God made the Irish people, he didn't finish the process. He forgot to put in the 5 pints of Guinness. And we've been working to do that ever since.
I love Tommy.
He's a good guy. So, but here's the deal, though. Let's say I'm a serious businessman, and I do get it. I've seen you go in. By the way, you know, if we look at your background, you have a psychological background, too. You've got a music background. You've got a comedy background. You're pulling a lot of disciplines into this. Is that right? You're putting a lot of stuff on the table for this one.
Yeah, I think I'm drawing on all those backgrounds. I mean, my background in, as you know, and maybe our listeners don't know, my background is in comedy and music.
I know it's your background. I didn't say it's your competence. I recognize it's your background.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, no, but
I'm here to build your self-esteem.
Well, yeah, that's crushed. No, but it is actually about drawing on those things, because if you've spent years playing the Comedy Store, that some of that rubs off. I mean, I've worked with, pretty much all the top comedians, here and in America, especially of their time. And you're sitting in dressing rooms with them. You're watching them again and again. You're on tour with them again and again. And really, because of...
Can we just go back to the dressing rooms bit, Paul? Is there something you're not telling us?
Yes, but there's lots I'm not telling you because I'll be sued. But no, it's understanding that the psychological aspect of the way I look at things draws on those things and goes, what were those people doing that was different and better? And how, and that's what humorology is taking that information from a psychological level, from a comedy level, from a musical level even, and pulling them together and going, how can that improve everyday life and everyday business to make people happier and the workplace more productive?
So are you saying is this internal operations focused, or is it customer focused, or is it the full company focused? Where's your target in all of this?
It's full company, because I think that humorology and humor generally is about every aspect of connecting. And you as a psychologist will know that really everything we do is about connection. Now, some people are going to say, well, no, I can live my life behind a computer screen and that. But you are still having to send an email to somebody to connect, or, do a virtual meeting.
Paul, I'm an introvert. So the reason I do what I do is not because I like people. I just do that because I'm afraid of people and I want to stay in the cave and make money. So what's your game? That's mine. Like, what's your approach?
Well, yeah. Well, I would be the opposite. I actually, in order to feel alive, I have to meet people. And maybe that's why I'm so driven to sort of give people that ability as well.
So you're saying you're needy.
I am very needy. Humor is, when you think about it, and by the way, you are exemplifying what we're talking about, because you say you're an introvert, but actually, you're constantly in front of audiences, you're constantly executive coaching people in huge businesses. So you know that this stuff is really important. So even introverts need to be able to flick the switch and be able to turn on their humorology capacity.
Well, what I do, and maybe this is the same as your technique, what I do is when I look out into an audience, okay, I visualize them turning upside down and the money falling out of their pocket. Is that the correct way to do this?
Yes, is the answer. No, it's to be honest, visualizing your audience as lovely people is one of the things that, you know, you and I have talked about before. But it's visualizing your audience as lovely is probably the most. I'll tell you a story. I was talking to an audience in Germany, and somebody put their hand up when I said, I always walk into a room assuming everybody's lovely. And a German man puts his hand up and goes, this is not true. And I went, sir, it's a concept in your head. And he went, no, but it's not true. Not everybody's lovely. 10% of people, horrible. I went, sir, it's a concept. It's about how your attitude and how it affects your state. And he went, no. So we have a discussion from the stage. And finally, after about 5 minutes, he turns around to me and he goes, okay, I go with you most of the way. And I went, most of the way? And he went, well, yes. Now, well, I will walk into a room and presume that 99% of people are lovely. And I went, that means that when you've got a room full of 100 people, your unconscious mind will be going, where's the bastard?
Absolutely. And I do that all the time, Paul. I think it's very safe. So basically, and I always make sure that I face the direction of the door.
Well, and make sure that they've started the car.
There's a clear pathway. Exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, but what you're saying there is that there is an attitude that you do bring, and there is, I've seen you in action, and I do know you're playful. I do know that you've got that sort of charming thing going on. You could have Irish heritage because you've got that sort of the gift of the gab. Yeah. So, and the thing about it is that you go in a playful way, in a light way. Is that what you keep talking about connection. Is that what you're going after? Is that what humorology is all about?
Yeah, humorology is to bring back the playfulness that we all had as children, really, because I think what happens is when we get into the serious business of business, you know, we lose that ability to play. And we are all sort of still have that childlike attitude somewhere buried in us, and some people bury it deeper than others. What I'm trying to do is,
when I was in business in terms of working for someone else, I remember at one stage I said, I know what I'm doing. I'm working my way into an early heart attack. That was because I was too serious. And that was the moment that I changed, that I said, hold on, this seriousness can actually affect your, not just your mental health, but your physical health. So yes. are you, because you know the science, basically, and I know sometimes science hits me accidentally, and I do know the science of humor can actually flood the body with endorphins and means you'd be healthier anyway, correct?
Yes.
Because so really, if you think about the pitch, doctor, and I know you've written lots of books and stuff like that around the pitch, so really this could be, basically, it's the funny doctor.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not sure I like the ambiguity of that. To be,
you know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I do know what you're doing. No, but actually, I thought what you were saying, when you create stress hormones in your body, it reduces your resilience immeasurably.
Yeah.
So actually, what you're doing with humorology is counteracting those stress hormones.
So you're saying funny equals profit. Because the bottom line is, if a person is less stressed, their capacity to be more productive is massively increased. Their immune system's healthier, the whole lot, basically, so they feel good and they're more connected to their work. That means money. That's simple terms. Just looking at it from pure really financial terms, that means money.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's what people have to start to recognize. And that's my mission, if you like, is to get companies to recognize the only way you're going to get a company to open their doors is when they understand that it affects the bottom line. You know, as I said, you know, putting a punchline back into your bottom line.
And the great thing that you're saying is that you don't have to be funny. And you're a living example of that. You don't have to be funny to make money. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I want on the poster, to be honest with you.
But the thing that comes across, Paul, all the time is, and I know I can do this with you and you're a good friend, that I can literally take the mick out of you all the time. And you have that attitude. That's what you have, though. Is that a part of humorology, that you can be that playful, that your ego's not that big, that you can just take the hit in the chin and have fun with it?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big, well, thank you for the compliment, but it's one of the biggest things. I think you have to be able to laugh at yourself. There was a really interesting bit in James Comey, the former FBI director's book, that he said he'd never seen President Trump laugh. And for Comey, laughter in a leader is a signal of openness and a willingness to show vulnerability, if you like. And the mark of a great leader is the combination of things that seem contradictory, really. Enough confidence to be humble. And that's really what we're talking about.
I think humility is overrated, Paul. You know, you want to knock that on the head straight away.
You know, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as us, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so really what you're saying, you're dumbing this down out of your awesomeness to help the common man to feel better about themselves. Is this what you're saying? Is this what humorology is really about?
Yes. Basically, no, really, what I make it is, and actually there is a point there in dumbing it down, because actually I'm simplifying what's going on so people are not frightened of the process. And so, you know, even though I know you were doing a gag, what I'm doing is I'm simplifying the process and going, this is actually accessible. There are steps you can take to make yourself more employable, to make yourself more pleasant, to make yourself a better leader, to make yourself connect on every level. And these are what humorology is. Now, of course, they're built from psychology and they're built from comedy, but it's nobody's put them together to date. And that's really what I want to do.
And that includes you. So really, once this book comes out, basically, I'll be able to produce the correct book about it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'll need somebody clever to actually make it make sense of it, to be honest.
That's me out straight away. I didn't think you had to be smart to do it. Yeah. So who's the funniest person you ever met?
In business, there's a couple of people that come to mind, but in business, I'm a big fan. I worked with Alex Mahon, who's the CEO, and she's of Channel 4, and she is really, really smart, because I always call her two brains. She's really smart, and she had that ability to be analytical and funny, and I really admire that. And the other person, because I know it's my show, I can answer twice if you like. But I met John Lydon. For people who don't know John Lydon, he was Johnny Rotten in the Sex Pistols. And I was lucky enough to be flying back from Los Angeles first class, and we were sat next to each other and became sort of very close in a 11 hours. And he was so smart and so funny. And I just, and he was really good at business. And he was a businessman, because he brought all the Sex Pistols business back and got it all back, took it to court, sued Malcolm McLaren, who'd tried to rip them off. And he was didn't have to pretend that he was fine. He was just genuinely hilarious.
And he even took, even the Sex Pistols, he saw that as a joke too, a lot of the way through as well. He often talks about that, which is pretty impressive. What's the funniest movie you've ever watched?
I have to say, as a musician, I will always go back to Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. And with friends of mine who are musicians, people like Mark Bedford, who we had recently on the Humorology podcast from Madness, We can spend a whole lunchtime just to sort of like doing quotes from, and there's always a quote that will, it's a very fine line between clever and stupid. It's those kind
and
of
And you're
quotes.
Walking it every single day.
Exactly.
Sometimes you fall on for the serious bit. Sometimes, but most times.
Yeah. Yes.
So I like a good book that makes me laugh. Now, I've read The Pitch Doctor. I find that hilarious. that someone would actually produce a book like that. Yeah. It makes me laugh out loud. Yeah. What's your laugh out loud book?
The Happiness Habit.
I thought it might be.
Because I couldn't believe the gall of a man to write it.
From the bog in the Midlands. Yeah. Writing a book about happy. What have you got to be happy about? Yeah. I come from a land of misery. Okay. Basically. So, because I'm Irish, we don't really inform our faces whether we're happy or sad. That's to keep everybody away from us. Yeah. So, but here's a question for you. Would you consider yourself a funny person? Would you say that?
I think I know how to do funny, which is different from being a funny person. I don't think I get it is actually, I think I get funny. I know where the funny lies. I can find the funny.
And can you teach it? Can you teach it to someone else? Can you show me basically how to do funny, how to be funny?
I can teach you how to be funnier. Can I teach you the underpinning thing? Because I think that most people, and when I talk to friends of mine like Paul Merton, the comedian, we sincerely believe that actually you hear funny from a very young age and you get it and you can improve on it. Can I improve on it in anyone? Yes.
Well, and I would say for you, yes, you can. I'll give you a few tips after this. From raw offer, how to be funnier. Yeah. And you can put them in the book. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take anything I can get.
Exactly. I understand. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather be considered clever or funny?
I think I'd rather be considered funny.
Because you can't be considered clever.
Well,
it's
no.
Just
yeah. That's it. Well, I actually don't. I because I know so many people who I think know more than me, I don't ever consider myself clever. I always think, I suppose that's part of my makeup is I want to learn from everybody else. So I think I have areas of expertise, but I don't know if that's clever. And also, I have the kind of mind that's really good in a quiz, that will remember, you know, my wife looks at me and goes, how do you know that? And I go, I have no idea. I just know that. That stuff sticks. You know, the £500,000 question in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I just go, oh, yeah, I know that. And they go,
it's obvious then that you're not clever. Because if you know the answer to those questions, why haven't you done Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Well, I think it's probably I knew the answer to one question. Maybe, rather than that.
You wouldn't have had to sell these books and seminars and stuff like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So, but for a businessman listening to this, a person that's trying to build their business, and let's say they do have a soul and a heart and they want to help their teams grow and the organization grow, what will they get from either reading your book or attending your seminar? What's the end goal? What's the outcome? What's their takeaway, their key takeaway?
Key takeaway is that anyone can get better at this. It is about a lightness of touch. It is about an attitude. And it is about actually changing the state of others. Because if you can change your state through the humorology rules, if you like, you can influence with integrity and persuade others to come along with you. So it's finding that lightness in laughter and turning gravity into levity.
One of the things that people will say when they're listening to this, I expect, is that that's great for you, Paul. You're very natural. You're very good at what you do. I know personally, I've seen you walk into a room and literally everyone in the room will know you by the end of it. Now, they might be avoiding you, but they will know you. No, but in truth, they'll all know you and they'll all like you. So you are a master of your craft. There's no question about that. Okay. And you don't just arrive in with simple skills. Your skills do have a depth to them as well. So now, that would, if I'm on the other end of that, I might be saying, okay, well, that's how good you are. How can I get to there? I'm a serious person. I don't have that playfulness. How can you help me to get to there?
I can do very simple things. I can show you, because I've spent years modeling people who do this very, very well. And what I'm really doing is I'm unpacking the rules of how to do it. And the rules are not to set your expectations to a level that aren't easily achievable. The rules are just to go for the easy way in, which is finding ways in to get rapport with people. You don't have to be doing gag after gag after gag. In fact, people who do that are sometimes very, very irritating. Your real humor comes from connection. What I'm doing is I'm taking humor to the next level by understanding that humor is all about, have you connected first? Have you got sufficient rapport? Are you listening to somebody? And if you're listening, you can get a laugh. That's basically it. And so what the humorology steps are is taking you to that state.
Brilliant. So listen, you've met the Queen, you've met members of royalty, you've met Bill Clinton, you've traveled across the ocean with Richard Branson, basically, you know, you've met all these people, okay? So we could keep going on and we could name drop forever because there's so many people you've met, okay? Do you approach them any differently?
No, I really don't. The last time I remember being awed, really awed. I mean, Bill Clinton was interesting because I was a huge fan of his oratory. And so when I met him, but actually I've taught myself never to be awed. The last time I was awed, I met George Best because I, as a child, I was like obsessed with him as a footballer. And I went into a childlike state when I was around him.
That's your permanent state, Paul. That's your permanent state.
Well, it is a permanent state. And actually, I'm quite proud that I'm keeping my childlike state, because then you can find the funny. If you've got the childish attitude to it, that's teasing, that's playing all the time, you can find the funny. And also, you can work with people better. I'm actually, when you say, you know, I want to retain that, you know, who wants to grow up? You have to, you know, in order to find the funny, to be humorous, to connect with people, why would you want to grow up? You want to connect to other people on that level that you connected to as a child, which was teasing, playing.
Well, Paul, what you're doing is what you're demonstrating, basically, that your life is a legacy to the connections you've met, to the people that you've met. And what you're saying is you've just kept it light, you kept it bright, you kept it playful, you're having fun. And if you can do it in your world, you're saying, well, anyone can do it, or at least they can do part of it. And that's what you're offering here.
Absolutely. I really do believe anyone can do it.
Brilliant. Well, it's been a pleasure, Paul, as always. Good to talk to you. And I know this is going to continue to be successful. Well done.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you for taking the time for, you know, a top psychologist to actually unpack humorology. It means a lot to me. And you know that you mean a lot to me. And thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
The Humorology Podcast was hosted by Paul Barros and produced by Simon Banks. Music by Steve Hayworth, creative direction by Les Hughes, and additional research by Helen Sykes. Please remember to subscribe, like, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. This has been a Big Sky production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.